White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 611.
You are listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the White Rocket Entertainment Network.
The Auburn crowd can smell it. They can taste it. They can almost see Minneapolis.
I'm not even hungry and I can taste it.
The Auburn Tigers, for the first time ever, are going to the Final Four.
Hello and welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you as always by White Rocket Entertainment. That's us. White Rocket Entertainment. Yeah, right here. That's us. And by people like you, the Auburn family, the AU Wishbone family, the Auburn basketball peacocking family, our Patreon.com family. That's a lot of families, John. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined as always by my ever long suffering co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
John, it's been kind of a roller coaster ride the last couple of weeks in Auburn basketball world.
It always is, but I am undaunted.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess it only seemed disturbing in the sense that we hadn't done a lot of losing before the last couple of weeks. So we kind of got spoiled a little bit. And I think we kind of tend to forget that basketball is like that. You're going to lose games. Nobody goes undefeated.
Yes. The best teams in the country lose, you know, whatever, 3 to 7 games a year.
Yeah.
And go on to win the title. It's fine.
Well, the team that's up.
And playing on the road in the SEC is very, very hard.
That's a dang truth. Well, the team that's up there number one right now lost to Alabama in Washington, right, in their own state. Yep. So, yeah, it happens. It happens for sure. And I've been trying to point out to people, you know, we do this whole we're a basketball school now thing, and I get that. But we still have the soul of a football school, and we always will, I think. And that's why you lose one game and we start freaking out, because in football, if we had done that, it'd be like, well, there went the championship game. There went Atlanta, you know. Oh, no SEC championship for us. But in basketball, you lose a few games and you still have a good shot at winning the championship. So, I mean, Kentucky may not, you know, let's put it this way. If Kentucky goes undefeated the rest of the way, they probably deserve to be the champion over us, because, you know, if we lose a couple of games and they don't, well, there you go, you know. So just tip your hat to them. But hopefully that's not going to be how it plays out.
Right, and they have a tougher schedule than we do the rest of the way.
Yeah.
So, you know, the SEC does not have tiebreakers for the regular season.
No.
You either, if you tie, you all co-win it. So but I think Auburn's still in a really good position. There's 4 games left. Everybody's got 4 games left to play. And I think some of the other teams we're up against have tougher 4 games remaining than we do. So,
yeah, well, I mean, I'd rather be where we are than where anybody else is right now.
That's right.
And we've got a winnable game Wednesday, Ole Miss, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the big one is Saturday, which I'll probably be watching on my telephone from Los Angeles at this thing I'm doing. And then we got, we end with South Carolina. I think Mississippi State's in there somewhere.
There we go. 2 Mississippi State the next Tuesday or Wednesday, and then South Carolina at home on the final Saturday.
Yeah. Going to Mississippi State is not easy.
Yeah. No, that's no gimme either.
But I believe Kentucky still plays Arkansas, and Arkansas has been on fire lately.
Yeah. Though Saturday, when we are playing at Tennessee, Kentucky will be playing at Arkansas.
Woo, baby. Mm-hmm. Woo, baby. That's big. Mm-hmm. That's like Rivalry Saturday or something. That's like, what's it? Separation Saturday is what that is.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah, baby. That's what makes it fun, though. Don't be afraid. Hey, let me just say this to all our Auburn basketball fan friends out here that are listening. If you're going to be a peacock when things are good, you got to embrace the adversity and embrace the opportunity and say, bring it on. Let's do it. You can't wish it was easier. You got to embrace the challenge, man.
Well, and you have to embrace the fact that our team is really good and we're going to be fine. Like, they're going to,
yeah.
You know, I look around and you know what I see? I see Auburn beating Auburn. I see us making mistakes costing us games. I don't see any teams that are like, man, that we don't need to face a team like that again.
Right.
You know, I see us beating us.
And we can fix us a lot easier than fix somebody else. That's
100%.
Right. Yeah. So we correct a few things. And you know, I told at least one of our listeners this week that if you're looking for the silver lining in a dark cloud, finding this stuff out now is better than finding out in the tournaments, either tournament.
Yes.
Because you have a chance to do something about it now. This is, people got mad at me when I said I wouldn't hate losing a game and, you know, before we go into the tournament. But part of the reason that you don't want to carry a huge winning streak into a tournament is that when things finally do go wrong and you're on this huge winning streak, you don't have any chance to fix it. When something goes wrong before the tournament, you have a little time to fine tune it and fix it before you get into one and done-ville. Mm-hmm. When it's one and done, you find out the mistake and you're done. You're over the side of the Titanic. Well, you don't have to be over the side of the Titanic because the Titanic's going down anyway. That was a poor metaphor, John. Let me reset that.
You're over the side of the Titanic without a lifeboat.
Yes. In fact, if you're on the Titanic, you might as well go over the side because your chances are about as good either way, right? So there you go. We're not that, though. That would be Georgia. Georgia's the Titanic.
Georgia's the Titanic already at the bottom of the ocean.
Oh, Lord, yeah. Absolutely, they are. So, and honestly, I mean, other than them, the SEC is pretty stacked. I mean, you know, if you look at the bottom half of the league, it's funny that, you know, LSU, who's supposed to be one of the five or six top teams, they have the same record in the league right now at fifth that Mississippi State does at 9th. Like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 are all 7-7.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, and you made the point early on in the season, and I thought it was a really smart one, that the SEC was going to cannibalize itself. There's so many good teams. It's tough to go on the road and play, and then everybody's going to beat each other. And that was a big advantage to Auburn when we had started so hot.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Is that it gave us some padding because they keep beating each other up. It's not like Alabama beat everybody, Kentucky beat everybody. You know, Tennessee beat everybody and we beat everybody. Other than Arkansas and Florida the last couple of weeks, you know, we haven't lost. And Alabama's lost. LSU has lost. Florida's lost. You know, if Arkansas started kind of slowly and has four losses. Tennessee has now got four losses after losing to Arkansas. Even Kentucky's got three. So it is funny, though, by the way, that in a normal year, an 11-3 Kentucky would be getting ready to hang a banner.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't count on a 12-2 Auburn having them in second place. And you know what, John? They don't like it very much.
And I'm fine with that. They won too many freaking SEC titles that we need to take it away from them.
They can't stand it. They can't stand us, which is so funny. They are the poster child right now for, it's not fair. That's the Kentucky war cry right now, and it's pretty disappointing, honestly, because they're supposed to be the Alabama of basketball, and they're sounding remarkably like Alabama fans rather than, you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. Entitled, yeah.
That's it. That mm-hmm. is the word.
Yeah, well, I hate to tell them, but it ain't working out that way. So we beat Vanderbilt, and this was a game where I believe Jabari Smith really kind of emerges having to kind of take over and do a lot of scoring, if I recall correctly. That game was vivid in my mind until the Florida game just kind of shoved it right out my ear. I almost barely even remember it now. I know that at the end of it, I was relieved. Oh, it was the Pippen, Scottie Pippen Jr.
They had Scottie Pippen Jr.
He was the man.
And early on, yeah, they hung around. He was playing great. Stuff was happening. All, you know, they were hanging with Auburn.
They were up like 11-0, right? And 14-3.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They started off super hot. Auburn started off cold as ice. And then the game went on, and a few minutes later, we had tied it up.
Yep.
And
as we figured would happen.
That's right. And the game, and early on, like, they had a couple of big men that were playing well, and it was kind of going back and forth with Kessler. And then Kessler just pulled away from them. And at the end of the game, Jabari Smith had 31. Kessler had 22 points, 7 rebounds, 7 blocks, an assist, and a steal.
Now, yeah, that's – and he brought pizza –
And he made waffle fries too.
Yeah, that's amazing. He did everything. So, all right, I'm going to be non-linear for a second. So we had Jabari to do that and Walker. In the Florida game, Bruce says we relied too much on Jabari. Address that. How do you reconcile those two things?
We are better. Bruce's point was we're better when we have balance, right?
Yeah for
and
sure.
We forced the ball to Jabari, and he took, you know, he was good. He was really good, but we need some other guys to contribute and make stuff happen, okay? Jabari took 16 shots in the Florida game, all right? From a point scored perspective, he had a good game. He had 28 points. Katie Johnson had 12. Kessler had 11. Wendell Green had 5 points. He was 2 for 10 from the field, 0 for 5 from 3. He had 5 points. Nobody else had more than 2.
Yeah.
So Flanagan, Zepp Jasper had 0. Cambridge had 2. Cardwell had 2. Jalen Williams had 0. So I think what he was saying was we needed the rest of the team, Jasper, Katie Johnson, Cambridge, Cardwell.
Zepp didn't even shoot the ball, did he? I don't remember him even attempting a shot.
0 for 1.
Okay.
So I think that what he was saying was, yeah, Jabari was really good, but what we really needed was like 10 more points from everybody else on the team. And I think it wasn't taking shots away from Jabari. In my mind, those were shots where we turned the ball over and didn't end up with those guys getting a shot. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
The other part was because Florida had that big guy, we played Kessler and Cardwell. We did not play Jalen Williams at center. And so Jabari Smith played, the most minutes he had all year, 33 minutes. And Jalen Williams only played 7 minutes. So, you know, because we didn't want to substitute and play Jalen Williams at center next to Jabari because we thought that would be a real problem for us, you know, guarding their big guy. So,
yeah. And we still ended up in foul trouble and almost had to do catastrophic substitution anyway. By the way, the funny thing here is we're talking about, good grief, he had to play 33 whole minutes. If you go back and look at the and I'm not saying that there's any reason I would be doing this, but if you go back and look at, like, the box scores of the games back in the 80s with Chuck Person and Chris Morris and all, they all played, like, 38 minutes a game each.
Oh, yeah. No, we had like 6-7 man teams back then most of the time.
Yeah.
And we didn't have the guys now, this team in particular, you know, I'm doing some analysis on this now, and I'll let everybody know in a day or two. I'm looking at how many minutes our guys have played compared to the other best players in the SEC and around the country, and how much save mileage on them. And
yeah.
I really think it's going to make a difference at the end of the year.
Oh, yeah. That's one of the main things that we've taken advantage of all season is being fresher in the second half. And hopefully that'll happen, and that'll be the second half of the season as well now, as we are in the third, the third half. Suddenly it's Yogi Berra. You know, we do one thing in the first half and one thing in the second half, but man, in the third half, watch out.
We come alive.
We come alive in the third half. It's funny because I've been saying all along, I wish Jabari would take more shots and assert himself more. And so I don't feel bad that he did. It's just, you don't want him to have to, because nothing else is working, I think.
Yes. No, I think that's the answer. You want it to be a compliment. You didn't want it to be the whole menu.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And Saturday at Florida, it was the whole menu. And that was a problem.
And you said that our 3-point shooting was really not on par with where it needed to be for a team with our aspirations. And I mean, well, think about it. You know, Jabari is our best 3-point shooter. Beyond him, you know, you're talking. And here's the funny thing. Earlier in the season, Wendell and KD would seem like they were hitting more than they are now. It seems like they've dropped off. But you know, the real warning sign is that we used to joke about Devin Cambridge.
Kessler.
No, Cambridge. Oh, yeah. Kessler's like the other good shooter now. He's shooting like 33%, 50%. I don't know. But Devin Cambridge, we used to joke that, like, you know, let any of our guys shoot threes except for Devin, because Devin was like if Bryce Brown couldn't hit it. He wants to shoot it all the time, and he will try, but it rarely goes in. But at least last season, it rarely would go in. I can remember Cambridge making 2 3-pointers all season. I'm sure he's made more than two, but it's not a lot more than two. He puts it up there, and it does sometimes doesn't even draw iron. You know, I mean, I love Devin. He's a great defender. He's quick. He brings a lot to the team, but he so bad wants to be Bryce Brown, and he's not. And if you know, if he can transform himself into that, that would be great. Because Lord knows the one thing this team needs is a deadly accurate 3-point shooter. But he is not that, and I cringe every time he chucks it up there because it just nothing good usually. And we're not, you know what? From great stretches of the game, and I don't mean the last game, all season long, and this is despite winning, okay? Despite winning so much, for great swaths of the season, and tell me if I'm wrong here, it has seemed like we are not a great offensive rebounding team. It seems like we're in disarray. It seems like other teams seem to have like a scheme and a plan for rebounding. And we just kind of like, I don't even, it seems like half of our guys have already run to the other end of the court when the shot goes up and there's nobody to rebound.
Well, there's always a fine line with rebounding, right? You want to get the rebound. You want to see all five guys crash the glass. And if your offense is rebounding, that's great. Except if the other team gets the rebound and they're on a fast break and you're not back, right? Yeah. So sometimes there's a tendency for guys, you know, to be like, okay, we got Jabari and Walker Kessler down there. I'm going to take off and get back on defense, right? Yeah. And sometimes it drives me crazy because we have guys who don't follow their own shot. Like, you shoot, the most likely rebound is in your direction. And so you have to just come towards the basket after you shoot the ball, and the rebound goes another way and you know, or comes back to them, and they've taken off and run down the court and it goes to the other team. So you're right. I don't think we get out rebounded much. I'll look that up in a second, but I do think we've had some problems with offensive rebounding and other teams getting offensive rebounds. I think it's one of the things that teams in the last few games have really focused on. Because I think we went through the stretch early in the SEC schedule where we got a lot of offensive rebounds. Kessler especially got a lot of offensive rebounds. We got a lot of easy putbacks.
Yes.
And now teams are like, we are not going to let you beat us getting a bunch of easy rebounds and putbacks around the basket.
That's what it seems like. It seems like they've been packing down in the paint.
Yes.
There's like 100%. Four guys in there in a box around the goal. Every team we play.
Yep.
And they do the same thing when we try to attack. We have to find clever ways to do like alley-oop or the pick and roll to Kessler or something, because when we just haven't had a lot of driving to the goal. I mean, KD will try it and Wendell will try it, but not often. And they usually end up getting killed, and it almost is luck when it goes in. I mean, it's, you know, the thing that Jared Harper used to do, you don't see a lot of that going on. And just for people listening, look, we're not meaning all this as criticism. We love this team more than anything. I'm just going through and talking about things that I've noticed that I'm wondering about, that I wish we could improve, that I'm curious about. That's all. I'm just like, you know, there's this and there's this and there's this. I hope we can get these things worked out.
Yeah, I mean, some of the driving thing is, I think in other years, like in the, you know, on the team with, you know, with Bryce Brown and Jared, we would have everybody clear out of the lane to allow them to have a place to go on a drive. A lot of times now we have Kessler or Jabari or both or Jalen Williams staying down on the blocks near the basket to try to get the ball down there, and that brings defenders in next to the basket so that when you drive, there's a guy there. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's just a different offensive outlook. What we need to do, you know, is – have those guys come out and then drive in behind them, right? And we do that sometimes. But the other thing is, you know, take advantage of when they're down there, make a good entry pass for them to get them. You know, the guy, they're in the right position, have the guy on their hip and make something happen.
And a lot of our, this has been in our down streak a little bit. A lot of our creative passes to get a guy open for a score have gone awry. You know, I mean, we've thrown a lot of balls away. We've bounced a lot off of a guy's foot, thrown them clear over their head.
All right, so that's exactly what I was looking at before the game. I was looking at turnovers, okay? And the games with the most turnovers this entire season, we played that ugly LSU game, the very first SEC game.
Yeah.
Arkansas.
Ugh.
The Vanderbilt game this week.
Yeah.
The Florida game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are the games with the most turnovers all season, those games. But here's the difference. In that Vanderbilt game, we had 20 assists and we had 17 turnovers. So it ended up okay, right?
Yeah.
In the Florida game, we had 17 turnovers and we only had 9 assists.
Ooh.
And in the Arkansas game, we had 19 turnovers and we only had 8 assists. So that's a thing where, and in the Florida game in particular, we had 17 turnovers and they only had like 7 steals. So what that means is the other 10 times they didn't steal it, we just threw it away.
Threw it away. Overheads a bunch,
And there was a lot of that in the Florida game. We're trying to pass the ball across the across the the whole court, the width of the court, across the 3-point circle, and we didn't have good angles. We weren't moving our feet on offense, and guys were throwing it away. Guys were anticipating players would go to places and then throwing the ball and the guy wasn't there.
Yep.
And that happened a lot in that game. Yep. And that, to me, was honestly the biggest thing. And we'll talk about the end of the game plays and the end of the half in a minute, but the turnovers were the story of this game. If we take care of the ball and don't turn the ball over, make better passes, we're fine. And we win this game by 10 points or so. It's that, and it, again, it wasn't Florida stealing it. It was Auburn just throwing it away. So if we do better at that, at execute our offense better, you know, get in the right position and throw the pass to the guy where you can see him and he could get it, we'll be fine.
It also didn't help that they called us for like 17 fouls and Florida for like 2.
Well, the officiating was incredibly inconsistent in that game.
Yes.
I mean, there were times when they would allow them to just beat on Walker Kessler and push him in the back and all that kind of stuff. Wendell Green got absolutely annihilated driving to the goal.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't get a foul.
Nothing.
And then there were times when there was like a clean block and they called a foul.
Called a foul.
Or the Florida player basically flopped at the foul line as the shot clock went down and they called a foul. And those were just terrible. So that's the part where it drives everybody crazy, the players and the coaches and everybody else. Like, just call a consistent game. If you call it tight, fine. If you want to call it loose and let them hack each other, fine. But this game, the officials were like up and down and all over the place, and you had no idea how it was going to be called from play to play.
Yeah, that's always the worst. Just some kind of consistency that they can adjust to it. Yeah, that's just awful. Let's see. What else do we need to hit about the basketball?
So we just got to talk about the end of the half and the end of the game plays. I want to give Florida credit because I think they did something unexpected on defense and that messed us up at the end of the game. But I guarantee you that's what we're practicing, you know, the next few days.
Yeah.
Is set plays, the end of the half, the end of the game, execution, you know. But also, I think we're waiting too late to start.
Oh,
like,
no.
We don't
kidding.
Want the other team to get another shot. So we're waiting till like 3 seconds left to go, and it's too late.
I didn't know what Wendell was thinking in both halves.
Yes. He was thinking, I don't want to let them get a shot. So I want to execute at the very end. But
you're like, go, come on. And then it's like 2.8 seconds, and he goes. And I mean, I'm not trying to criticize Wendell. He's great. But I questioned his decisions in those instances there. It seemed fair that he, you know, so.
At the end of the half, yes, 100% that was on Wendell. At the end of the game, Bruce called a play where Kessler was supposed to come out and screen and then cut to the basket, and Green was supposed to throw it to him. And on that play, instead of coming out to guard Wendell like Auburn thought they would, they stayed back. And so Wendell really should have done was either step back and shot it himself, or KD Johnson was open on the wing. He should have hit him and let him shoot it from the outside. Instead, the play was to go to Kessler, you know, cutting to the basket, or Green cut to the basket. And they ended up with, you know, kind of him not open and a couple of big guys having their hands up where Green couldn't make a good pass.
Just a wild throw, yeah.
Yeah, so I think it was Florida defended well what Bruce Pearl and the coaching staff called in that one play. And so I think what we'll work on is, you know, I mean, Bruce said after the game it was his fault. He should have called the timeout when he saw how Florida played it. But the other thing is, I think we have to be quick decision making and have good options you know, it's A or B. And it really just only seemed like we had an A at the end of the game.
Well, and if Wendell had started the action a couple of seconds earlier,
yes,
he would have had the time to adjust and make that decision. He had no time to make an adjustment. Yes. He, you know, he waits till the very last second to trigger the play, and then he has no time to do anything.
That's right. No, that's very – I think it's fair.
Yeah.
I think I'd like to see him start a second or two earlier, even if the end result was we score and Florida gets, you know, is inbounding it with a second or two and heaving a shot.
Oh, let them throw a half court. That's fine. They make it. They deserve it. It takes us back around to what I said a while ago, though, which is I'd rather be doing this now than in March or April.
Yeah. Yeah,
and we can fix it. I tell you, but in a tournament, not only – is it kind of too late? Because once you lose, you lose. You're out. It's not a double elimination event. But also, you've got one day to prepare for the next team. You don't really have one day to also work on the thing you've been doing not so great. You got to kind of have your thing down and be working on the other team, you know, in that time. So
that's right.
Well, so you asked the question. Well, the standings. We talked about the standings, right? Auburn's in first, 12-2. Kentucky's 11-3. Tennessee and Arkansas are tied at 10-4, and then everybody's 7-7. Do you get all the way down to Vanderbilt at 6-8? Can't believe A&M's 5-9. I thought they were actually pretty good.
They started good, and then they dropped off a cliff.
They really did. It's like the opposite of Arkansas. It's like they swapped teams after about the first third of the season. So, and I think we're kind of lucky that Arkansas started as slowly as they did, because they'd be tied with us right now if they hadn't lost the early couple of games. So, Ole Miss Wednesday, Tennessee Saturday. So, you asked the question, how do you feel? Has your confidence gone down? So, you asked the question. It's your question. You ask, and let's think about it.
All right. Has your confidence gone down in this team in the last 2 weeks?
No. Like I said, what's happened is I've been happy that if we're going to make mistakes, we know it now. I would rather be us playing a challenging schedule and seeing the things we need to fix rather than be a team like Gonzaga that's playing junior high schools and not realizing what their problems are until it's too late, I hope. Because their schedule is trash, trash, trash. I looked at it. It's trash. And they're not going to know what their problems are, you know, until they're like in the Sweet 16 or something. And then suddenly, uh-oh. Gosh, wish we'd known this 2 weeks ago like Auburn did, you know, so we could fix it. So I think that's an advantage.
Yeah, we've been through the fire, and it's, yeah, you know, we're tempering the steel and making us better. And as you said, the other thing is, again, I think I'm going to go back to what I said at the beginning. I think that what I see is Auburn beating itself. Mm-hmm. We're turning the ball over. We had, you know, at Arkansas, we missed a lot of free throws. And that's right. I think these end game situations, we could execute better. I think we do those things, we're fine. If we take care of the basketball, you know, take care of it, make good passes, set each other up for shots, we'll be fine. The defense continues to play well. We continue to you know, be able to stop anybody in any kind of team. And we really just need to take care of ourselves and do the right things and get a few guys other than Jabari making shots.
Well, that was the thing in the Florida game, is that if we had an ordinary defense and Florida had been scoring, we'd have been down 30 at halftime the way the offense was playing. But our defense is so good that even though they held us to like 12 forever, we held them to like 17 forever. So they were always in easy striking distance. It only took us a little run to catch up and pass them.
Yes.
Which we did briefly.
Again, we were late in the first half and we had 13 points or whatever. It was like 5 minutes left in the half. It was terrible. But it was, like you said, the defense kept playing super hard, so no one can ever get away from us.
And there's one – yeah, absolutely. There's one thing we need to keep bearing in mind, is that going on a winning streak to win the SEC tournament or to win the NCAA tournament, in both cases, it's a matter of just, A, you catch fire at the – well, A, you have to have a good team to start with. B, that team catches fire and plays over their heads. And C – you keep rolling sixes and not snake eyes. Okay, you need all three. You need a good team, you need to catch fire, and you need to not have bad luck. And it's extremely difficult to go on a run like that. And in 2019, we almost went on two of them, because we went on a run and won the SEC tournament, and we almost won the NCAA tournament. And you have to bear in mind that that thing can come up snake eyes on any given day, any given night. And so this team right now could get in the SEC tournament and just roll over the first two teams and then run into a team like Florida played us and lose. It can happen. So you need to be prepared. It's not the end of the world, and it doesn't make this team garbage. It just means that in basketball, these things happen, and it's not easy. And you can be a really, really good team and get caught by somebody Kentucky got caught by us in 2019. They were a really, really good team, but we were on fire. Yep. So you just got to be prepared. You can't just wait this thing gonna land in your lap. You got to earn it, and you got to roll the luck dice a little bit.
And I think one of the things that, you know, that makes the luck less of a factor is just playing good basketball and having the depth that we have, where it's not like one guy has a bad game and he's cold, we're done.
Right. Yeah. 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 We had a handful of players on the 19 team, and we've got several. That's one thing I like about this team is that on any given night, it can be anybody. I'd like it to be more than one, but it always seems to be at least one. You know, it's usually Kessler and, or Jabari and, or sometimes both of them and. But yeah. So you asked, what are you looking for in the last four regular? What kind of improvement or whatever are you expecting to see?
Yeah. What do you want to see in the last four regular season games? What would be something that you're going to look for in those games?
Two things come to mind immediately. One, little better outside shooting, and maybe it's time for Zepp to start taking some shots instead of being selfless. And two, I want to see the offense look like it has a plan rather than just find the guy with the hot hand tonight.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause there's times that we run really cool plays, but they seem like islands in an ocean of frantic somebody get hot. So maybe I'm wrong about that, but that's kind of how it comes across.
No, you'd like to see the offense look a little smoother.
Yeah, smooth and consistent, yeah.
Ball movement. Again, not every shot's going to go in, but you want to see him get good shots.
Oh, that's Sonny Smith's mantra right there. We hear it every time we put the audio on. You know, we play Sonny and Andy on the audio while we got the TV on, and Sonny is just like, take good shots. Pass the ball. Take good shots. That's his, you know, there's the things he says on defense, but on offense, it's always
high percentage shots.
That's his thing, yeah. Always has been. Always has been. Look for the open man. Look for the high percentage shot.
But it's also true because it works. It matters, right? Mm-hmm. And so what you don't want, I think, is the guy, you dribble down the court, first guy touches the ball, shoots the three, even though, you know, maybe somebody else is open in a better position.
Yeah.
You can make one or two more passes and get a layup, you know, so I think that's the kind of thing we got to watch. And then, you know, keeping everybody involved so that they're not late in the game and you got guys that haven't taken a shot or whatever, that are feel like they're in a good place and they can make a basket if they need to. So, we've talked about Flanagan coming out the end of the year and it hasn't happened. You know, that one good game a couple weeks ago, and then the game after that, I think it was the Vanderbilt game, maybe, he was really bad.
Yeah. Turns it over.
He had like six turnovers and four fouls, and you know, so it was not good. And he didn't do much at Florida either. So we need Jalen Williams. You know, we need these experienced guys to come in and make a few baskets and be steady to help the team keep it going. So and then, you know, Flanagan's been real up and down. We need him to be up and be moving in the up direction. That's one of the things I'm going to be watching the last four games.
Yeah. Well, I think it's going to be fun. I think that you have to embrace it. You got to welcome it, and you got to go out there and go for it and don't be scared. Absolutely.
That's it. Bring it.
Speaking of bringing it, I guess.
Jump gate activated.
That is our warning. For those that are triggered.
Warning. Warning. The danger, Will Robinson. Football talk.
Waving my arms frantically. Yes. Football talk is a-coming. We've just got a couple of things to hit here because obviously the coaching staff has been in kind of a turmoil and reshuffling and moving around and mainly just promoting.
Yes.
Seems like Seems like I'm not saying that Harsin is terrified of bringing in any outside people now and just wants to trust his Boise people, but he sure does seem to want to trust his Boise people.
He does. But I think he also, there's been a flurry of moves that, around college football and NFL. And I think he, does want to trust the guys he trusts, but you still have to hire outside people at some point. So you have to be ready to hire the right person. So
I guess our new receivers coach will be an outside person.
And that's a position, again, Kiesau was promoted offensive coordinator, and that kind of opens up wide receivers coach, and that's a position where you can hire somebody who's a good recruiter. So I think we could look for somebody to help on the offensive recruiting side and get them in at that spot, and that'll be big because we need receivers.
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
We need to develop the players we have and recruit some more good ones.
Yeah.
Well,
I'll tell you this, and I want your thoughts on it. Over the last few days, as I've watched the coaching hires and thought about it a little bit and everything, I'm changing my mind. Now, this isn't the barbecue show, and the barbecue show is going to be very interesting this year. It's going to be hot.
Understatement.
I may have to get some spicy barbecue for that show. I have to get some some special jalapeno-laced or habanero barbecue. But I don't think we're going to do like our usual everything is terrible, so we go 11-1 or 12-0 or something. I don't think that's going to happen. But I was also starting to lean toward, 4-8. And I'm starting to think now, and I think it really comes down to the receiver position to a certain degree. If we can just find some receivers that can catch the ball, even though they're probably freshmen or redshirt freshmen. I'm really feeling now that we have a little more chance to do better than that. And the reason that I think that is the couple of things. One is the players that we do have coming back are probably more likely to be bought in and all playing and kind of on the same page and in alignment. So, if you want to say that Harsin running off half the team, if you want to look at that from a glass half full rather than a glass half empty standpoint, we've been looking at it from a half empty standpoint of, oh my gosh, we've run off all these players. What are we going to do without players? But if you want to look at it from the other standpoint, you can say the ones that are left for the most part probably all want to be there and can play together. At least that's the hope. Okay. Number two, when we do promote internally these Boise guys, maybe they're good coaches and maybe they're not. But at least, again, there's alignment, as we say. They're all kind of on the same page. It may be a page torn out of a deep fryer book on how to make French fried potatoes in Idaho, but they're all on kind of the same page, right? And so I think that in put it this way, John, I think that in some ways I'd rather have a mediocre assistant coach that works very smoothly with the head coach and the players than a brilliant assistant coach that doesn't get along with the head coach and is kind of like working at cross purposes. You know what I mean?
No, 100%. Fit matters. It's got to be a team of coaches. They have to work together in sync and complement each other and all be rowing in the same direction to have success. It can't be they're all stars, but they don't work together. That's not success.
And I don't know that the new offensive or the new defensive coordinators are mediocre. I'm just saying that we don't know. And I'd almost rather roll the dice this one time with them working out than bring in somebody again that's not going to work well with Harsin and going to end up going through all this all over again. Because, yes. I mean, we kind of had semi-all-star offensive and defensive coordinators, but they didn't have existing relationships with him. And clearly it didn't really work very well. So maybe instead of like really prominent outsiders, you go with the kind of obscure insiders and hope that relationship overcomes any other limitations they may have. And limitations, I think, is a better way of putting it than what I was saying before. So.
Yeah. No, again, and this isn't just a football coaching staff thing. I think you need, harmony in a workplace, everybody to be working together and going in the same direction. So, again, I agree with you. I would rather have a bunch of guys that believe in what Harsin is doing and are going the same direction with him than try to bring in some all-star person from the outside who doesn't do that stuff. I think that would be not moving us in the direction we need to go here.
Yeah. Well, we also promoted Zach Etheridge. We retained him, which was huge because he could have gone to
Georgia.
Big. And he's associate head coach now, which is good for Zach. I mean, I remember like 5 minutes ago he was actually playing for us. So it's crazy that he's associate head coach now. He's of the – that's funny that of the players in our, like, I don't say lifetime, but since we've been out of Auburn, the ones that have gone the highest in the Auburn coaching staff are probably Zach Etheridge and Cadillac, right? And yes. I guess and Cody Burns, who's now going to be playing for the who's going to be coaching for the Saints. So
I think about it this way: Zach Etheridge was a player when we were doing this podcast.
Good gosh! I didn't remember it was that recent, but yeah, I guess so. He was one of Gus's players, huh?
Yes. Wow. I'm double checking what years he played, but
I can't remember, but it doesn't seem like it was that long ago, that's for sure. Well, anyway, and then we just got to get a receivers coach. And again, if we're going to get somebody from outside, that might be the one. Of course, we know that what happened last year when we hired an outside receivers coach is he didn't even make it halfway through the season. So I guess this time Harsa knows to ask questions like, you know, how are you going to coach? And are you going to teach them to catch the ball and run routes and, you know, just a few things like that?
Yeah. Did you find something? Etheridge was on the 2009-2010 team, so.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's right. And we've got Rock Bellatoni coming in, or I guess moving up analyst spot. I always want to say advisor. Yeah, he's telling students what classes to take for summer term. No, yeah, analyst. He's supposed to be a good coach. Everything I've heard is
promising. He's got a lot of experience, so
yeah.
He's coached defense all around college football. So again, a veteran guy that I think is supposed to be a good talent evaluator, supposedly. So we'll see. And I guess a position we have some good guys coming back, that edge rusher position. So hopefully he can continue to develop those players and move forward.
I did hate losing the special teams coach just because I don't like turmoil on the special teams. We like them to be kind of settled, and we've had way too much up and down on special teams over the last several years.
I hear you, but he moved on to the NFL to be coach linebacker, so I'm happy for him. But
can't blame him. Well, anything else about football? I think that's pretty much it. So coaching carousel within the staff. And good old Cadillac is still the rock in there, although there is a rock in there now too. And we'll see. We'll see what happens. But it's late February, so it's only like 5 months until we get out the barbecue and look at the whatever we make of the 2022 season. We'll see. Be fun. All right. So we're about to do Guess the Game. We have a new Guess the Game from Jared, and that's very exciting. And also, we have to point out that our patrons get to play the NCAA tournament brackets with us. So if you enjoyed the bowl pick'em, and we had like 45 people participate in the bowl pick'em, which was awesome, though we all lost to a stuffed animal.
How's the stuffed animal feeling about the basketball picks?
He's feeling good about it. He pulls his little bed out and has his little Raising Cane's basketball, and he sits there in his little bed and watches the basketball games with us. It's very exciting. And then he tweets. So he's a very animated stuffed animal. But we do have the NCAA bracket pool coming up. So if you want to get in on it and get in on the action and the fun and prove that you are capable of defeating a stuffed animal at it, then go to www.auwishbone.com, auwishbone.com, that's all you gotta do, and click on the big orange button that says Become a Patron. It'll take you right to our Patreon page where you can sign up, join the family, join the fun, and take part in the NCAA bracket pool, and also help keep our show going. And also, by the way, it's not too long until the Formula One season starts all over again, and we'll be doing our Formula One teams where you get to pick your own drivers and make your own team and go out there and compete with Alan and me and Mira. And every year we have a really good time with that too. So lots of cool stuff coming up. www.auwishbone.com. Here are the folks that are – oh, and the other benefit, of course, you get to put whatever you want in your name and make me say it. So here are the fine folks currently – that are currently going to be eligible to participate in March Madness. And if you want to join their ranks, you certainly can. They include Samuel Salvatore, Chris and Clinton Stewart, Carl Von Drunker, Dr. Crackham, Patrick Hayes, Bradley Blackman, Gary Grant, a.k.a. AU fan at KSC, Logan Chilton, Matthew Flowers, Michael Kirshner, Phil Amthor, Richard Stevens, Steve Trawick, Susan Trawick, Trombone Tiger, Willie Carden, alum of the most bipolar university in America, no doubt about that, and Kanjian. See, that's the example right there of what you can do is put your sentence in there. And Kanjian, AU falling up. Ben Bloodworth, Brian's not harshing around, not anymore. Chris Hilton, who bids you a hearty war eagle. He's no longer Chris the Hilton because things kind of moved around on him. Chris Thrash, Clay Henson, Dan Thompson, Daniel Odom, David Hegler, Earl Ricks, Eric Morgan, Bobby, George Gaston, Jacob and Robin Fleming, John Otsuki, Catherine England, Kevin Smith, Mickey B, Ole Miss's Miracle Medical Staff. We still need those guys. Owl Go Rhythm, Paul Miles, Phil Davis, Preston Settle, Reynolds Wolf, Rich Reimer, Sarah Browns, Steve Harlan, Theodore Gary, time to focus on what is most important. Virginia Double Dribbled. Hey, you're right about that, Rusty. War Eagle Always. Oops, I missed one. Hold on. Go back. We should mount a hoop on the goalpost and hand the pigskin to KD Johnson. Nobody gets between KD and the hoop. Bob Sammons. That's an excellent point, Bob. But I just...
Hey, yes. Amen, Bob.
Yes, I just missed somebody, and I apologize. I got to go back and fix that. I missed WDE Richie, of course. I said War Eagle Always and then clicked the button without looking to see if there was anybody below him. And then I realized there was. Wes Atkinson, William Morgan, Wilson Beard, Winston Boddy, Auburn Blue, Blake Heron, Boris the Tiger, Brandon Smith, Calipari will now ask Saban how to change the rules. It's about safety. Carter Glaus, Cato the Barner, Colby Butler, Corey Smyer, Darris Benton, David Simpson, Di Bama, Eric Mahan, helping Van upgrade his insulation still. I have to let him know when I do that. Houston Tiger, Hugh Anderson, Josh Teal, Kevin Kinoy, Kevin Mahan, Lane Middleton. Listen to HellBentATL.com and...
Smoke weed every day.
He lets me get it in at least once every episode. Melissa Blackstone, Mike Finley, Papa Todd, Patrick Williams, Randall Walker, Rob Morgan, Russell Milling, Sarah Hines, Sasquatch, Shane Bailey, Shannon Butson, Snowdog, Stephen Houston. This is the year Jinxo Jordan has improved so much under his new offense. He's focused. He's having fun. Tim Pittman, Timothy, Tony Perry, Weagle87, Alex Nguyen, alum of a basketball school, Auburn Elvis, Ben Amos, Ben Hanshew, Ben Riggis, and finally, Brian Albanese, Sebron, Charles Mooney, Chris Como, Colonel Dad, Construction Tiger, Daniel Barnett, David Smiley. Do we have to worry about Ole Miss's medical staff for basketball, too? That's a good question. We'll find that out on Wednesday. Elizabeth Donald.
We got to get better at celebrating.
Here's to the best Auburn podcast, War Eagle. Well, thank you there, Mark. Let's see. I'll buy this for a dollar. James Taylor, Jason the Weasel Skull Ulbrich. I'll be seeing in Los Angeles this weekend for the James Bond show. Jeremiah Schumann, John Samuel Schinker, Jingleheimer Schmidt. I love that. John Stubbs, John Zavachin, John Soundboard, Joey Miller, Joseph Iliff, JT Jarhead, Justin Bean, Kenneth Brent Rains, a.k.a. Auburn Dad for Life, Mark Squire, MVP Catfitting, Kathy Bright, who I think will be seeing at L.A. this weekend, Paul Bankson, Robert Drain, Royce Alvarez, Russell Souther, Ruth, and Darren Sutherland, Spanky.
You sit at my table.
That's what he wants me to. Stephen Thompson, Trevor Johnson, Brant Rumble, Chris, plus our one-time and anonymous donors, www.auwishbone.com. John, I will be. Go ahead. You got a thought?
I want to thank all the patrons for making Van say those names. You do not need to encourage him to play the sound clips from Kingdom of Heaven. I'm just saying it's not necessary. You don't have to go there.
We need somebody to become a patron whose name is...
My brother is possessed by the devil and must be examined.
That's what we need, is somebody with that name right there. Their Christian name, their given name at birth from their parents was that. That's what we need. I'm sure there's somebody out there. There's somebody out there.
I don't think that's what we need.
I want to point out, for those that do such things, I will be in L.A. this weekend, but just in a hurry to do the James Bond show at the Peterson Automotive Museum. But if you like the Bond stuff, tune in to On Her Majesty's Secret Podcast over the next week or so, because we will be posting various things. It'll be kind of like what John and I did at Texas A&M, but instead of going to a football weekend, we're going to like a James Bond weekend thing with all the cars and stuff. And then Jared will be there, and Delvin will be there, and Kathy and Jason, and I think that's it. And Alan, of course, Alan, duh, and me. Coming up next month in March, I will be at the Memphis convention, the Mid-South Con in Memphis. So come on by if you're in the Memphis area. It's I don't have the exact information in front of me, but if you Google Mid-South Con Memphis, you'll get all the relevant information. So that'll be the next thing coming up. There's Chicago in May, but we'll worry about that later. So, all right, you ready to do the guess the game?
Bring it on.
All right, here it comes. Here comes Jared's latest contribution.
Fellas, we are now in the hint file. Let's get rid of those bleeps.
No, and
listen.
I think they were all highlighted, and so when I hit open, it opened all three, and for some reason it picked the middle. And let's try that again. There we go.
Hello, John, Van, the rest of the AU Wishbone family. It is Jinxie Jared here with Guess the Game number 43. Guess the Game 43 is brought to you by John Nall, and let's give this play a listen.
Pump fakes, now goes to the end zone. Touchdown!
Perfect throw. It's a stop and go. Good coverage, but the tall guy gets it.
Another senior out of Schaumburg, Illinois. All 6'5" of them, and he had to use it all and tiptoe at the end. What a catch.
All right, gentlemen, I will see you in the hint file.
When did we have a receiver from Schaumburg,
Illinois?
I mean, I'm going to be there, like I said, in May. That's pretty much where I'm going to be, but I don't remember a receiver coming out of there.
It was a tall receiver.
A tall receiver. And that, did that sound like the ESPN guys? Was that?
I think so.
Franklin? Ron Franklin? So that puts it somewhere in the 90s or early 2000s. Who did we have that was a tall receiver in that time?
Anthony Mix. He's from Maine.
Not Duke Williams. He wasn't from.
Where's he from?
I don't know where Duke was from. I'm going to play it again while we're just mulling this over.
Well, you want to go to the hint file?
I want to hear it again just because it's it wasn't very long.
Van, the rest of the A Guess the Game number brought to you by Give This Play a Listen.
Pump fakes. Now goes to the end zone. Touchdown!
Perfect throw. It's a stop and go.
That's
good
Gottfried.
Coverage, but the tall guy gets it.
Another senior out of Schaumburg, Illinois. All 6'5" of them, and he had to use it all and tiptoe at the end. What a catch.
All right, gentlemen, I will see you in the hint file.
Was that Gottfried and Franklin, or was that somebody else that kind of sounds like him? Man,
could have been Brian Greasy at the end there, but I'm not sure. So
yeah, this is good.
It comes down to who is a tall Auburn receiver from Schaumburg, Illinois, that caught a touchdown pass. It was a pump fake.
Yeah, that's all we have.
Did it sound like a home game to you? Hard to tell.
Hard to tell. I didn't get much out of that. I mean, that's fine. I'm excited when we have one we have to puzzle over, but I don't think we have enough data.
It's not hitting me who the player is.
So. No, it would have to come from knowing who the receiver is, yes, and then figuring out what game they caught a pass for a touchdown, which could be if they played a whole season. So even still, all right, let's go to the hint file. We don't have enough data so far.
Fellas, we are now in the hint file. Let's get rid of those bleeps and listen again.
We should have let it go the first time.
Nicks, pump fakes. Nicks now goes to the end zone. To Canella. Touchdown.
Perfect throw.
Canella.
It's a stop and go. Good coverage, but the tall guy gets it.
Sal Canella.
No.
Senior out of Schaumburg, Illinois. All 6'5" of them, and he had to use it all and tiptoe at the end. What a catch.
And yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. That is interesting.
Well,
I'll see you guys in the answer file.
All right. No, because it was Oregon that we, wasn't it, that we played with Knicks the first game? His first game was against Oregon?
Yes.
Yeah.
Washington was the year before.
The year before. Yeah.
So what's another game with Sal Canella caught a touchdown?
Alabama?
Did he?
The 19 Alabama game? Well, and think about this. That wasn't Franklin and Godfrey, because my brain just goes back to that era when I hear the clip. That was the current CBS team.
Yes.
I can't think of their names, but
So I like the 19 Alabama guess.
Yeah, I think it's the 19 Alabama game. But that's we forget that he scored that crazy touchdown because there were so many other crazy scores in that game.
Yeah.
There was the butt interception, and there was the Shivers at touchdown. And those two are, I mean, the Canelo one was great. And in most games, that would be the most memorable play, but yet it was like third at least in that game. So
third,
Yeah, crazy. So, but yeah, that's, what's the guy that's the color analyst on CBS forever that we, the people don't like? I can't think of his name now. He was on with
Gary.
Yeah, that was Gary and
Gary
and
Danielson.
Gary Danielson and the what's his name? Their current guy that was on the NCAA.
Yeah,
football.
We know you're talking. It's not Vern. So.
No, the new guy. Okay, who's actually an old guy? All right, here we go.
John Van, if you guys came to the conclusion that this is Auburn playing Alabama in 2019,
yes,
then you are correct. That was a game for the ages, and man, that's a fun one to revisit. As a reminder, if you have a guess the game idea out there like Mr. John Nall did, you can send it to me directly on social media. I am at Yard Sale Artist, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, or you can email me at Jared, that's J-A-R-R-O-D, at theyardsaleartist.com. And until next time, Van, John, Boar, Airwolf Eagle.
That was, and we appreciate it, Jared. I always want to make sure to thank Jared because he does these just to be awesome, which he is. And they're so good. This was good when I thought because, like I said, we didn't have a whole lot of data. And my default is to go to like a long time ago. So I'm trying to think of some tall receiver from Illinois back in the 90s. And it's like, you know, two seasons ago or whatever. So,
but also, I mean, the announcers kind of messed us up a little bit there.
Yeah.
And the fact that, like, Canella was from Illinois, but then he went to junior college, like, in Arizona or something, right?
Yeah,
and so that always messes me up, too. Yeah. So that was a good one. Thank you, John Nall, and thank you, Jared.
Yeah.
That was fun.
That's good. All right. So our last bit, as usual, is...
Thank you. Order questions to the Prime Minister.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone podcast.
And that's nothing but pure and simple old-fashioned communism.
That's right. What do we got, Mr. Chairman?
All right. The first email, this was sent Saturday afternoon. Okay.
Uh-oh.
So.
Oh, boy. Is it coming in hot? Is your screen on fire?
Well, this is just from Samuel Salvatore. I think he was having a reaction in the game. He says, "Hey, guys, War Eagle, I'm very disappointed in the way we just played. It's just after the game, I don't understand why we start playing our worst basketball in February, and I hate to say it, but Tennessee is fixing to whip us, and we're going to lose the SEC season championship, and it's very heartbreaking. Am I the only one thinking it's crazy?"
Whoa. All right. We got to talk Samuel off the cliff. Off the ledge.
You know, sometimes when Jabari is going the court, he does this motion like he has hands, he's pushing his hands down, and that's what I'm doing right now. I'm like, okay, easy, easy.
What are you? Some kind of doomsday machine, boy.
Takes a different context here, doesn't it? It's a different context for that sound clip.
It is. I like it.
Okay, so, yeah, no, I, it's. I mean, it's a fair question in the sense that there was stuff to be concerned about, and we talked about that. But again, I'd rather have this happen now than later. It's like you'd rather lose in football in week one than in week 11 or 12. And this is kind of the same thing, you know, so, or similar.
It is. I mean, you know, it's one game. We were all unhappy. Don't let it get you down. This team's still great. We're going to be fine.
And you know what's going to happen in March?
What's going to happen in March, man?
and March Madness. Let's shock the world.
Of course, it wouldn't be that much of a shock this year. We don't really want to shock the world this year. We want the world to go, oh, yeah, that's about what I expected. That's what, we went a little differently than what Charles is talking about back then. But still, it's fun to play it.
Yeah. But I would say, again, for other people that feel like Samuel does, like, it's okay. We're going to be fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Our next question is from Jared Albrecht, friend of the podcast.
I've heard of him.
Who says, first off, I want to offer the Auburn family my sincerest apologies. I did not watch Airwolf. I watched the Florida game. I thought for sure the Florida curse was going to be broken, and I wanted to be there for it. It was a stupid and selfish move, and I promise you all I will go back into the cockpit for the rest of the year. But and then he goes on to say, but I've been thinking about that loss. And once again, using my leadership training skills, I teach a class on problem solving.
Yep.
In the class, I ask, are you fighting fires or are you killing the dragon? Basically, that means, are you solving actual problems or are you just fighting symptoms of your problems?
Mm.
And he says, Jabari not shooting the final shot, that's firefighting. Wendell not making a final shot, firefighting. Missing some free throws, firefighting. Terrible ball control, firefighting. So what do I think the dragon is? Panic ball. Ooh. We play panic ball when we don't have to. Going too fast, trying to force things to happen, make low percentage shots. We do this all the time.
Please clap.
We played panic ball when we were up 8 in the second half. That's the time to slow down, practice good clock management, make the opponent play our game. But we were out there scrambling like we're down 12. Everybody loves our high-energy play, but in certain situations, it's more advantageous to downshift and be methodical. If I'm Bruce Pearl, that's the kill the dragon message that I take to the team. What are your thoughts?
I think that's really good. I think that's an excellent way of looking at it.
It is. I mean, you've seen, if you watch the team all year, they do at times get frantic, and it does drive you crazy a little bit.
When they don't have to.
Yes. The frantic when when it's useful is one thing. The frantic when it's not necessary or it's hurting them is what Jared's talking about. And
that's when you turn the ball over.
Yeah. Well, but also we take poor percentage shots. We give the ball right back to the other team without making them expend energy on defense. One of the things when you have a lot of depth is make the other team work on defense. Mm-hmm. You know, make them defend us for 15, 20 seconds and then get a good shot. I like it. I think it makes some sense to me.
Oh, absolutely. I think he's right. He's dead on.
All right. Our next question is from Ryan Brown, who says, if this year's Auburn basketball team was any non-Auburn football team from the last decade or so, which would it be?
Non-Auburn football team from the last
decade. Pick a non-Auburn college football team. Who would they be?
Well, there's so few to choose from the last decade. It's either Clemson, Oklahoma, Alabama, or Georgia, or Ohio State, pretty much, right? It'd be one of those. But, I mean, I don't think we have enough data yet to be sure. It's a team that started out really well, stumbled a little bit in the three-quarters mark, but still has the chance to go on. So, plays really good defense. Maybe struggles a little bit on offense, even though it has good recruits, good players. Who is this sounding like? Is this reminding you of anybody?
I was going to say...
Not Oklahoma.
No. I was going to say this was maybe the Clemson team that had Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, yeah.
Where they had been good for a few years, and then at the end they had the year when they were just tearing people up and won the whole thing.
But so the offense was still limited a little bit there, though. They still had some issues. They weren't, like, killing people on offense. Remember, they lost, like, that Pitt game or whatever. So, yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. Really good defense, a little inconsistent on offense, but still able to get there in the end to the national championship game. I like
it. But it had a lot of firepower.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they weren't any kind of underdog team or anything. This is a team that had firepower. You knew, everybody in the country knew they were going to be there.
Yeah, I like it. So. And that puts Gonzaga out there as our Alabama, right, from that year?
I don't know about that, but they could be Oklahoma.
Yeah,
Or Notre Dame.
Oklahoma in the sense that they have more offense than defense, I think, that fits Gonzaga. Yeah,
that's a good one.
They're an offensive team. I like it, yeah.
That's Purdue is an offense-defense team, too. So.
Yeah.
All right, that was a good question.
That was interesting. Made us think. I like it.
Next question is from Bill Miner, who says, guys, is it just me, or does it seem that every time I watch them, we don't seem to make many shots? I'm comforted knowing that even if that's the case, we could have won every game in regulation with just one more shot being made. Hopefully, we can get it all to click at the right time.
Yeah, it's not like we've gotten blown out by anybody. So, two overtime losses and a freaking...
100%. This is the thing. We played at Florida, where we haven't won since 96. We played at Arkansas, where it's a really tough place to play historically. Again, at the Florida game, we turned the ball over a ton. We missed some free throws. And a lot of guys had a bad shooting day. We had all kinds of problems. And we lost. We had the ball at the end of the game with a chance to win and lost by 1 point.
Yep.
Okay. It's, again, Arkansas, same deal. We had the ball at the end of the game with a chance to win it and go home, despite the fact that we played terribly and made a ton of mistakes and they played better than us. So teams aren't beating us. We're losing close games where we play poorly. If we play well, we cannot be beaten.
Where was the 19 team at this point in the season? They were like 12-7 or something. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes. They got crushed at Kentucky late in the year, like annihilated.
Yeah.
At Kentucky by this point in the season.
This team hasn't gotten crushed by anybody. They've barely lost to anybody.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, nobody is going to run away from this team because of the depth and the way they play defense. Nobody's going to run away from this team.
Yeah.
Every game, they're going to be in it to the end.
That's right.
All right. That was a good question by Bill. Again, that's it. One more shot.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then a brand new question that came in while we were recording from Logan Chilton.
Okay, Logan.
Who says, question for the pod if I'm not too late. Is Sonny Smith the greatest color commentator in basketball? And if not, why are you wrong?
Well, I've got him in the opening credits of the show now, which I thought was fun. Just because I had to, man. I
love listening to Sonny Cole
games. Oh, well, here's the thing. All right. Last year, okay, this is personal for Amy and me. Last year, my dad... and Amy's granddad both passed away within about a month of each other early last year. And Sonny now sounds like both of them. He sounds like, because Amy, even though we're in Illinois, her granddad was more of like a country guy, you know, good old country fella with his motorcycle and everything. And my dad, you know, in rural Alabama, and they both, and so Amy said it today. She said, I love listening to Sonny, because we listen to the audio over the app or over Sirius and don't have the TV on audio. And she says, I just like listening to Sonny because it reminds me of my granddad and it reminds me of your dad. And so it's beyond just him doing a good job and being entertaining, is there's just this emotional connection even for us, you know, and probably for a lot of other people that he reminds them of people in their family. He's awesome. Yeah, it's wonderful. And it's wonderful even as he's not a spring chicken anymore. He could be out taking it easy instead of working hard like this. But he's giving for us, and it's wonderful.
He is, and he's so fun during the games because, he's an Auburn homer. He cares. And he gets mad at the officials and makes snide comments about them.
He does.
And, you know, but also at the same time, he's being funny and clever, but really also delivering really good basketball analysis. And so he's a great color commentator, and I have nothing bad to say about him. He's a great representative for Auburn, and I'm happy he's there doing it.
It would be cool if, something could happen there that we could have a chat with him or something. We'll see what happens. It may just be, maybe, who knows what's in the cards? Who knows what's in the stars? Who knows? Who knows?
Crazy town.
Someone knows. God knows.
Well, we'll see if he's right or not. Oh my goodness! You know, for reasons that I cannot talk about, I've read a lot of Sonny quotes lately, and he's just very fun to read some of the things he's said over the years. I'm not going to share any of them yet, but I've got quite a little collection now of his little one-liners and jokes that are really, really cool. So
there's a Twitter thread that of somebody that tweets his best quotes during the games.
Oh, okay.
And that's good. It's if you look up on Twitter Sonny Smith, you could find that this person that tweets the best quotes during the game, and it's really good. And he always does the thing where he says, you know, I failed math in three counties, so I'm not sure how many fouls we got here or whatever.
Yeah, I love it.
They have to correct him.
I'm going to assume that he leaves out the Twitter feed leaves out the defense without fouling. That's what he loves to say. Every time we get back on defense, defense without fouling. And then on offense, he's like, take good shots, high percentage shots. Don't just throw it up, so. Oh, yeah, but he always has good lines, so, yeah. All right, well, I reckon we're getting out of time here. Any final thoughts?
It's okay. It's just one game. We've got a great team. We're not going to beat ourselves. We're going to go out there and take care of business. We're going to have a great end of the season here. Let's go do it.
TCB, the Peacock's going to be taking care of business. All right, our time is up. We thank you for yours. Where are you, John?
Where are you, man?
Thanks for listening to the AU Wishbone. Find links to everything we do at www.auwishbone.com. For more Auburn fun, join us on Twitter at @auwishbone and at facebook.com/auwishbone. War Eagle.
The AU Wishbone is produced by Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer. Copyright 2020.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.